It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
He's had enough of you. It's probably because you didn't say hi when you came in. Now he's pissed.
Okay.
When we were watching the end credits of something, there were a lot of Greek names in it. And at a certain point, I wanted to lean over to Trish and be like, they just call him Gus. I think one of them actually had Gus, like, in quotes in there. So, yeah.
Well, some of them are pretty long.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have G-U-S somewhere in them also.
Well, Constantine, and that's short. So, yeah, Constantinius, or Constant, whatever it is in Greek. Yeah. They'll just pick that one and say Gus.
Hello, everyone. And Gus. Gus is all over the Hellenic region. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that doesn't believe in the Flat Earth Society. I just don't think it exists. No, I've seen people claiming to be members.
It's a hoax.
I think, yeah.
They're trolling you for sure.
Yes.
Nobody believes that.
Yeah. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 372, I believe. Yeah?
I think you are correct. Yeah. But, I don't know. Let me get the thing out of the way.
Okay, get the thing out of the way.
Those of you just joining us, here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, sometimes Greek people, not always. Maybe never so far, but I mean, like, we are totally open to Greek people.
Sure.
Any people.
Greek people are fine.
Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, whatever.
The hat, all on its own.
The hat, all on its own. Sorry, my phone buzzed, like, that I had a text. So not only did I not say anything, it took me a while to register what you said. And I'm like, wait, that's my line.
It is your line.
The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's apparently absent-minded servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
Mm-hmm. It's the whole shebang.
I have a life event thing I got to get out of the way here.
Okay.
And I hate to preface something like this. You don't know about this, and this is not me doing a bit.
Okay.
This is a bad thing that happened.
Okay.
In fact, it happened a couple hours before we recorded the last episode, but I had just found out, and it wasn't really good. I should say, she's fine and getting better. I'll start with that. And then I will continue with, my mother-in-law is a little bit of a dumbass.
Oh.
But
the producer's mom is talking about.
Yes, yes. But, to be fair, we're all a little bit of a dumbass in this way. She just hit the bad bit in terms of probability.
Oh.
She decided she needed to put up, the 70-year-old woman, sorry for saying your age online, Mom, you said I could talk about it, decided she needed to put up curtains at the top of the stairs.
Oh, no.
So that's when everybody goes, they're like, oh, on a chair by herself. For the record, her husband was in the house, and he's much taller than her. And yeah, she fell the whole way.
Oh my gosh.
The whole way down.
Oh my gosh.
The chair fell on top of her. She fractured her spine at T8.
No.
She hates the good spot, though. Up or down from there, she might have been paralyzed or just instantly dead. So that's good. But also fractured her sternum. One broken rib. Broke the orbital occipital bone. I think that's back near the base of the skull. I'm not positive on where that one is. But
boy.
Broke that. And broke her skull. And now has 20 staples up her forehead. Yeah. So we jumped on that. And in fact, already we were going to go the very next day.
Sure.
For the weekend, because it was my nephew's birthday. And so we went anyway, and then, yeah, we just spent a lot of time in the hospital. Trish spent a ton of time cooking. I helped out where I could. That got a little weird, because, I mean, I love them, and they do things differently in terms of, like, how they interact and how they are, like, I mean, just off the top of my head, way more crying if this had happened in my family and stuff like that. But they're just occasionally, like, when they're having discussions about, you know, and the patient's being a little stubborn or whatever, and I'm just like, this is not how we do this in my family. So I'm sitting in the background. I also can't do a lot because Mom's the matriarch. She really is. She runs that place. And she raised three daughters that act the same as soon as there's the power vacuum.
Sure.
And so they all stepped up. They're like, this needs taken care of. And so they're working out shifts, staying there, and they're getting all the information from the doctors, and they're cooking food so that she can actually eat. Because she can't even sit up at the beginning of this. She's just in the bed like this. We have to. We can talk at her, and we can come over and like lean over her head, but she just has to stare at the ceiling.
Boy.
And pain, I think, has been crazy.
Yeah, I imagine so. But she's going to recover and everything?
Well, see, I have trouble with that one. She's very confident to almost annoying degree at times. We had to sort of talk her into not just going straight from the hospital back home, which I'm like, that wouldn't work. But she's now out of the trauma ward as of today.
Oh, that's good.
Actually, as of late last night, I guess. And she is in skilled nursing care.
Sure.
So that she can be out of the hospital so that there's less likely of infection and weird germs. And also because hospital beds are expensive and they really want to get you out as fast as they can these days. But she's still in a place where she can do all the rehab all day and stuff like that.
Right.
She didn't want to go. We found out we had to stop saying skilled nursing care and switch to saying rehab care or rehab facility.
Because it's like a nursing home. And
but she was a nurse.
So she
I'm like,
know,
why are we... No, she absolutely does. That's what I'm saying. Like, why are we playing the semantic game for ego? But she's there now. And she's actually in one that's in the hospital. Like, they have a separate area that they do for this kind of stuff.
Sure.
And I was liking that because, like, one of the daughters was kind of, like, nervous. Like, she seems still really broken to me to be getting out. And I was like, well, the good news is if it turns out they were totally wrong, they just take her back upstairs.
Right.
She's like, that actually is a good point. And they're guessing 10 to 14 days there, but she already walked up and down the hall once today. So that is good. So, yeah, we're all... there's been a lot of emotional processing of various kinds.
I
unfortunately didn't do well with it, and it basically ended that about mid-afternoon on Monday, I was just angry at everything, and it went on for most of the night, and it was bad. But I think we're getting things at hand. It's been a little bit tough for some of the family members that live there versus those that don't. So actually, Saturday... one of the sisters is coming here. We're all going to watch Infinity War tomorrow. We're excited about that. But then she was going to stay the whole weekend. But now on Saturday, she and Trish will go back in her car. And Trish will basically spend a week there. Partially taking days where she stays with Mom. And then the rest of the time working remotely. Because she'll take her computer and everything.
Sure.
So they're still working that stuff out. But we just sort of got that solved today. Yeah, so, I mean, it was freaky. I was freaked out enough I didn't tell my mother until Tuesday. Because I was like, I don't have the energy to have to explain it all and to go through her being really freaked out because I know she will be. I was like, I am still too freaked out. So I had to wait until Tuesday when I'm like, okay, I think I'm calm enough. Yeah, I just keep, I mean... I was really mad to start with. I was like, statistically, she should be dead. Like, a fall like that.
Very lucky.
That's amazing. And I was, when I finally talked to my mom, I was kind of bitching to her. I was like, why the hell would she do that? Her husband was in the house. All this. And she's like, I'll tell you why. And I said, okay. She said, there's a decoration that I really want to put up along the wall in our kitchen right now. But it's pretty high up, and, you know, the counter's in the way there. So I'd have to climb up on the counter to do it. But I think I could get up there, and it'd be fine. I can't have your dad help, because he says he doesn't like the idea, but I know he's going to like it when it's up there. So I'm going to have to do it when he's out of the house or in a different room. And I was like,
no.
No, but I mean, when you put it that way, yep. I've totally heard myself say that kind of stuff before. Yep, and I'm like, we all do it. Yep. We only are noticing this one.
Yep.
Like, otherwise, first of all, we wouldn't have found out.
Yep.
But if she had told us, we would have been like, what the hell, Mom? And she'd have been like, oh, come on. I just was up there for a second. I've done it before. And we'd all be like, grumble, grumble. And then we'd go on with dinner or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, so that helped a lot. Put stuff in perspective.
Yep.
And so now, so now I'm just sort of getting through the worry. And I still worry. I mean, she's really... the way she talks, I feel like she doesn't get how serious this is from a perspective of it kind of may never go away. I mean, even once she's all quote-unquote healed, she's 70, she might walk funny, she might have chronic pain issues, they might have to fuse some shit and she'll never be able to bend over again. I mean, and, you know, hopefully she doesn't listen to this episode. Sometimes those things deteriorate.
Yeah.
I knew people who had severe fractures and just months and months of stuff, and they eventually got out of a wheelchair and they were walking with a cane. But there were chronic pain and fatigue issues, and they died way early just from that. Like, dying from an injury that healed 5 years ago because it was just so much pain and so much difficulty that eventually you wear yourself out.
Yeah.
And so I'm still worried about that kind of stuff.
Sure,
but
sure.
Overall, her progress is... I almost want it to not be as fast because she is so bloody-mindedly confident that I'm like, I bet you're smug now. But that's the thing. She's doing really great, and I'm really pleased for that. So.
Well, I hope she has a full recovery, of course.
Yeah.
That's a terrible, terrible thing to have happen. But very thankful that she has an opportunity to get better.
Oh, yeah.
And wasn't killed or more hurt.
My mind was blown.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It was... Like, I was like, that's like, I mean, other than the fact that she's not dead, that's like, that's the worst case scenario. Like, if they could have filmed that, they could have used that in safety videos in schools for so long.
Ugh. Yeah, but it's like you say, there's all kinds of risks we take thinking this, you know, maybe not even thinking that it's that risky, or if we do, thinking, well, it's not that risky, I'll just be careful.
Yeah. Or what are the odds? And
the
The great one for me, I pretty much don't do this anymore, but I got it sometimes. I'm just driving the car around the block. I'm not going to bother to put on my seatbelt. And I'm like, tons of people do that, and you're like, you shouldn't, but nobody really says anything. Except if that's the time you get in a car wreck, then forever and ever they're going to be telling your quadriplegic mute self, if you hadn't been such a dumbass and not wear your seatbelt, you wouldn't be in this. And that is also true, even at the same time as I'm just going a short distance, odds are nothing is going to happen.
Right.
It's true. So, there's stuff it starts to become that perspective, not how scared am I, but like, what are the, am I willing to risk embarrassing myself to that degree? I mean, it's bad if I get in a car wreck and am permanently paralyzed. It's worse if I get in a car wreck and am permanently paralyzed because I was a dumbass.
Yeah.
And they'll all make fun of me. Let me get the rest of my week out of the way as long as I'm covering.
Yeah,
that.
Might
Although
as well.
That was a lot of this week.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
Saw a couple movies. I don't know what's worth mentioning. Probably not. any of those ones are really dumb. So no, we'll talk about the movie when I went out to the movies last night. We went and saw Blockers. You familiar? I mean,
I know trailers. I've heard of it.
Yeah, for those of you unfamiliar, let me put it this way.
It's not really, I have a feeling that's not really the name of the film. Because that's there's a rooster,
it is,
and then there's the word blocker.
Exactly.
So you know what it means.
And the rooster is not in the actual title card in the movie.
Oh, okay.
But block only comes up once in the movie, the word block, and it's attached to cock.
Okay.
And actually, I saw a thing on the translations into other languages for the title.
Really?
And it's all over the place. Some of them were like, that's unfortunately funny because of how you did it. Like either you changed it into an explicit sex thing, or you turned it into a thing about chickens, or ones where you just tried to summarize the plot instead of having anything to do with the title. And it got weird. But for those of you not familiar, basically, as we all know, throughout the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000s and this decade, there have been movies made about a group of male friends who make, sometimes for spice you put in a female friend, but who make a pact or a bet that they will lose their virginity on prom night, on graduation night, before graduation, before our first term of college, whatever. But that's the story. And American Pie is probably the most successful, shining example of that, commercially speaking.
I didn't even know that's what that was about.
Yes. Yeah, you just thought it was about pie fucking, didn't you? That's the only thing I knew about that movie either, because I have not seen that movie and never planned to see that
movie. No, I just
movie.
Thought it was a coming of age a la Breakfast Club crap that I used, heard about when I was a kid. And I've never liked that kind of thing, so I just don't go watch it.
Well, Blockers is that movie, with a few caveats here. It's current day, the pact is with female friends, it's prom, and much of the movie is also about their parents finding out about it and freaking out and chasing them around all night to try and stop it.
Which has never been a part of the males.
Generally has not, no. You get some variants in like Ferris Bueller's Day Off and stuff, but yeah, with the standard sex-packed movie, it's about how smooth they can be to pull it off, or what their ethics are in pulling it off,
and
or
their
whatever.
Parents probably don't even
and
know.
And the parents aren't involved. Because especially in the earlier decades, high school movies, there weren't parents.
No, right.
And it is worth noting, the parents in this are Ike Barinholtz, Leslie Mann, who is now just in every movie like this, and John Cena. Wrestler turned actor.
Who wasn't... He was pretty good, actually.
In Sisters, he was awesome. Yeah. As comedic, I find him very good. In Trainwreck, he was pretty good, too. And this is R-rated comedy, which, is the thing right now. And here's the thing. From what I just told you, I, of course, would have no interest in this movie. really a lot no interest in this movie. But it was getting buzz that it was surprisingly pretty funny. Not, like, amazing, but pretty funny. They were comparing it to another R-rated comedy a while back called Game Night.
Game Night, right.
That had a bunch of celebrities in it, and I didn't see that either. Yeah. But it was another one of those people, like, why the fuck would we care? And then everybody's like, actually, it was pretty funny. And it did better than people expected. That's what they're saying about this. And Trish and I, at this point, we have this sometimes. We're like, we just want to go watch a dumb comedy. We want to go and laugh at something and not have to think about what's happening. We've seen a lot of movies that way. We've seen a lot of Judd Apatow movies that way. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But that's what we were thinking here. We're like, people are saying, it's actually pretty funny. And we're like, that sounds good. Let's go do that. No, it's not very good at all. On paper, it's okay. I had a lot of moments of like, oh, yeah, that was a good joke. Like, but not actually just laughing. It cemented to me John Cena's decent talent as a comedic actor. His part in this was really stupid, but I mean he's got his chops now. He knows what he's doing in terms of goofball comedy bullshit. It's good to see Ike Barinholtz getting work. I feel like he gets underappreciated. Even though I pretty much plays one part. This is, yeah, like I said, this is what Leslie Mann does now. She's like a slightly older Katherine Heigl thing going on. She's just in every goofy comedy. I don't know. It's weird, but I look, every time I see her in something, I'm like, I feel like you could be in something better than this. The children, the teens in this were pretty good. I hope to see more of most of these actors.
Good.
And they dealt with, there was a lot of shit in that part that I'm like, if I was early 20s or something, I think I might relate to this really well. And it treats things kind of fair, and it discusses, like, why is this a thing that we freak out if girls are doing it, but, like, if the guys are going to get laid, everybody thinks that's awesome and expected.
Mm-hmm.
There are different, the experience of the three friends trying to make this happen are very different in very significant ways and lead to different resolutions, and that was kind of cool to deal with. So I feel like they tried, and that's good. But yeah, it's not like you go, if it's on cable, whatever, but it does not need to be a part of your life at all. Yeah. You see the new Venom trailer?
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm actually really interested in that movie now.
Okay.
That looks really, it looks different. Like, it doesn't look like every other superhero movie I've seen. And it's a very different sort of origin story for Venom compared to, unless they, I mean, retconned it years later, but from what I know of the earlier one, was much more, oh yeah, he hitched a ride on an astronaut back from Mars, and then was, ah!
Oh, like, I guess I don't know.
More interesting there. I mean, it's dark as hell, of course, but it's Venom. It's supposed to be. Yeah, going to see Infinity War tomorrow. Pretty excited about that. I mean, I am excited. I'm very excited. But I've read some stuff where they're like, eh, you know. But I think it'll be cool.
I don't know when we'll see it.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it'll make all the money, I'm sure. Because if Superman versus Batman could still make all the money.
Yeah, no kidding.
This will, and you'll probably have time. Black Panther's still nailing it. And that's the thing. I think it's going to be no Black Panther. Like, yeah. As time goes on and I see more movies and stuff like that, I'm like, Black Panther was really fucking good. Like, yeah. It's pretty awesome. Also, I may have to dip my toe post Phase 3 of the Avengers, because that's when Guardians of the Galaxy 3 happens. And I do so love me some Guardians of the Galaxy. So we'll have to see. I'm just babbling now. None of this is my week. How is your week? We got time.
Not much to talk about. I saw 3 billboards outside.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. We're going to soon. I promise. Like, we've been meaning to for a while. We've had a couple nights where, like, we're going to do this tonight, and then something came up. I know the premise of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I know that movie is very polarizing. I don't know why that movie is very polarizing.
Is it?
Yes. I avoid reading the stuff, but I'm not sure it's a, this movie's great, this movie sucks thing. I think it may be more of a, this movie did X, and other people are like, that movie definitely did not do X. Like to give an example would be the whole discussion we had about whether or not Mad Max Fury Road is a feminist movie.
Oh, okay.
Like that kind of thing. I think there, but I don't know, because I'm working hard to not find out. But like, I have friends and stuff who are like, did you see that? You should see, I really want to know what you think of that movie. So I'm going to see it soon. What did you think of it without giving?
No, I'm not going to say.
Really?
Right. Well, I'll wait for you to see it, then we can talk about it. Thing. Because I don't want to say anything that might. I'll just say out loud what I think I was expressing with my face is, the people that told you that, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not
not either, and I'm going to have to find out.
I mean, I wouldn't, I'll just say that. After I watched it, it did not occur to me to to tell anyone, hey, you have to watch this movie.
Okay.
Not anyone in particular anyway.
Well, it's been a big deal. It got lots of...
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I understand. That's one of the reasons... Well, we like Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
That was a big deal to us. But I'm not going to say if we liked it or didn't like it or anything else. But yes, when I was finished, I didn't immediately think, you know, to tell you that you have to see this movie or whatever.
You remind me because I'm stuck in this right now. So, my gaming group is changing drastically.
Oh.
One member left. She had to move away.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's rough. Her parents are of an age where they kind of can't do everything by themselves, but they really don't want to move out of their house.
Mm-hmm.
And she was unemployed, and she's unmarried, and the others all live further away and stuff. So she agreed that she'll move back, not in with them, but to town.
Sure.
And then can come and do stuff. And, yeah, it's really rough, but she's being real good about it. The cool thing is it's not too far from where my in-laws live.
Oh.
So I've told her, like, when we go out to visit or whatever, she and I get together and have dinner.
Sure, sure.
We didn't do this last time, obviously.
So,
yeah, so we lost one player. One player is coming back in a couple weeks, but it's the one who wasn't... He's sort of a part... I mean, he is a part of the group now, but he wasn't a part of the group, and a lot of us didn't even know him, but he was a friend to one of the people, and he came in because he GMs a lot, and he wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so he played with us for a while, and then he had to stop because of school-related things. So, I mean, he's cool. I'm glad to have him back. I'm not trying to imply there's anything weird about him. He's less of a known quantity for me as a GM.
Sure.
And then the one friend being in and out a lot because of his job, so he shows up, but not super consistently. And then another friend is going to be moving, well, not moving, but staying with their parents for a while, a ways away from here, and, like, telecommuting to their job, because one of the parents is going through some bad cancer stuff right now.
No.
And so they won't be around some of the time. And then the thing with my mom happened, and we didn't know who would be around all the time. Anyway, all of this means that the Six Goddesses campaign that I was running that was based very specifically on very specific characters and was all about those characters and their personalities and their lives in a very personal way, not going to work.
Mm.
Some of the people are gone. Other people we don't know if they're there. And the plot is really... it's hard to say, like, oh, no, that person can step aside or whatever. So we just had to stop that. And I was a little bit bummed because I liked this one. It was going very well. But, so we had this big long talk. What are we going to play next? And I'll spare you all the details of it. I have a lot of ideas because I'm good at brainstorming ideas for that kind of stuff. And eventually what we settled on is we're going to play another game of Dresden Files.
Well. That sounds like fun.
I'm kind of excited about that. The first one was both really good and really bad. Like, we really sort of sank our teeth into it. We still tell a lot of stories about it. But at the same time, there was a lot of frustration into it, and that we kind of stopped because of that. But I think, honestly, a lot of the frustration was specific to the character that the player who has now moved away was playing.
Mm.
And sort of the way she likes to play versus the way the rest of us do. She's not into a lot of the social intrigue and stuff like that.
Mm.
And her character was very sort of a loner character, and that complicated things. And then also the fact that we were very new to the system. And so we were all kind of stumbling over the rules and stuff like that. And with those two things no longer the case, I think things may go more smoothly. But more importantly for what I think here is... and. The reason I brought this up 8 days ago is so we're starting, like, next Tuesday, we're starting that huge city creation and character creation process that last time we spent, like, a couple months on.
Long time, yeah.
Probably won't be that long this time, but we're starting that again. I'm very excited about that because that part is awesome where you all work together. But so I'm excited about this. So I've been thinking a lot, and I've been checking the Dresden RPG books, you know, sort of refamiliarize myself with the pattern. And I'm getting really jazzed, and I have all these ideas, and I've practically got a whole city already in there. And I'm like, no, this is collaborative. And I know my group, if I come there and I say, here's what I've thought of, they'll be like, oh, yeah, let's just go with that. No. But on the other hand, I keep having these ideas. I'm like, I don't know how to turn this shit off. And I have to wait. It's not even close to Tuesday yet. And so I'm sending them emails. Be thinking about what kind of city you want to do. And I'm just like, come on, people. Bring something or else I'm just going to steamroll over you. And I don't want to do that, but I have all these cool ideas. I'm hoping. I'm thinking. My big thing in general is, well, I've told them already, smaller city. Because this is going to be a lower level game. They're not going to be as powerful as they were when they started in the other one. Hmm. We're not even picking a real city. We're going to make a fake city.
Okay.
But the vision I'm having here is Pacific coast, North Pacific coastal town.
Hmm.
Like Astoria, Oregon is one that I'm sort of modeling some of it off. Then you got the water things I like, and you got the woods, and you're not too big, but you still can have like government issues and stuff in a city that size. And I thought about it more and more, and I'm like, there's a ton of paranormal shows based around this.
Sure.
I am talking about Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
I am talking about Haven. I am talking about whatever Pacific Wonderland base motel was in. Like, these are all, when you stop and think about it, there's a ton of stories that are based around this exact thing. You're in the Pacific Northwest, on the coast, you're not that big a town. There's some versions on the
And there's intrigue, sometimes supernatural.
Sometimes. Yeah, and everybody kind of knows each other, but then people come to town. And I'm like, no. And this is what I'm envisioning. Like, this would be perfect for a low-level Dresden Files game. But that's the thing. I have met, like, we got to have the lighthouse. Of course, there's a ghost in the lighthouse. I'm already thinking of other things. I want to bring in some Lovecraftian bullshit and all this. And I'm coming up, and I'm like, stop! Too much! I'm only saying it here because I know none of them listen. But yes, I'm trying to like hold all of that shit back for four more days.
As far as I understand it, I haven't read the books myself, but from what I understand, Dresden Files is a great, I mean, it's just a really good urban fantasy backdrop. I mean,
it is.
If you weren't going to do Dresden Files, but you sat down and said, I just want to do a generic urban fantasy thing, you'd end up with something like Dresden Files.
Well, and that's the thing. I almost was telling them, like, this may not be in the Dresden verse. And I think I've decided I'm just lazy and it's going to be. But, like, a lot of the major aspects of, like, the society and stuff aren't going to be, like, there's going to be no member of the White Council in that. It's too small of a town. Why would they be there, you know? And it'll just be backdrop because I don't feel like dealing with that shit this time.
Sure,
I already
sure.
did that sort of in the last campaign. And honestly, as time goes on, I am soured by certain aspects of the Dresden Files books.
Sure.
And so there's a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. But, yeah, it's just a good system and a good setting.
Well, but I mean, you can pull in Neil Gaiman stuff if you feel like it, and it wouldn't be out of place.
Yeah,
you can pull in stuff from, what was that? It was a really popular urban fantasy show about a woman who was a succubus or whatever, but she didn't.
Oh,
play.
Lost Girl.
You can pull in stuff from that. And it would work just
fine. We were trying
to
explain urban fantasy to one of our newer players, and we were talking about, like, she hadn't read any Gaiman, and so that didn't work. And we were having a little trouble, and then we were kind of getting a few things, and then she's like, Buffy? And we're like, technically, sure. It's not in a big city, but yeah, it's a modern fantasy, world behind the world kind of thing.
The funny thing is, there's not a lot of urban fantasy that I like. But the idea of it, I like a lot.
I mean,
in my own books, I kind of play with that genre
See,
myself.
Your head just messed with me here. You said that, and I went to my go-to book series for people who can't quite get along with urban fantasy, because it's a little different, and it doesn't have any paranormal romance, which I'm happy about, and was like, you especially might really get into that series. Oh my! And then I'm like, what am I doing? He doesn't read fiction. And he certainly doesn't read fiction past, like, 1950 or so. Like, God damn it, because you would love those if, you know, you read books.
Well, but what are they? Maybe I would read them.
They don't have a nice, easy name. They're arguably known as the Matthew Swift series. It's British urban fantasy, and it's urban fantasy. Like, it's our main character is, like, a sorcerer guy whose power comes from the urban environment.
Okay.
So, like he can do, like, lightning shit and stuff, but it's literally, like, coming off of the light, the street lights and stuff like that. And, in fact, it comes up at one point that he gets kidnapped and taken out to, like, this rural area, and he can't do any magic because there's nothing there that works. He needs, you know, the smog to do things and stuff like that. And it's heavy stuff. There's some horrific elements. She has a style that both of them, it's by a woman named Kate Griffin, I think, which is a pseudonym for a woman who I forget her name. It has this thing that's both fascinating and annoying to me, is it just starts and like never slows down to explain what's going on until about halfway through each book, which is both fun and infuriating, because if I'm not reading on the regular, I'll be like, it's been 2 weeks. What? Oh, shit. They don't even know what's going on. How do I know what's going on? Like, you know how you do that sometimes to be funny. You're like, they'll make references to somebody, and you're like, who is that? And eventually, they show you. Right. Not for a long damn way. And yeah. Each volume was like that. I was like, God damn it. I'm trying to keep track of things. But yeah, I think the first one's called maybe Electric Angels. The Blue Electric Angels are a big focus of it, but...
But the thing about the Dresden Files is... He does build a kind of a mythos.
Oh, yeah.
That you can hang everything on. Absolutely. So that's nice. And like I said, you can... Whatever urban fantasy element you like, you can bring it in and it'll be completely consistent. Or you can make it consistent. So I think that's why.
And it's honestly, the system, the fate system, the way it's built and the way they've handled magic, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
So I was actually, when I was bumming around places, I was like, oh, there's places where they've built a magic system that you can just stick in a game if you want magic that goes well with fate. And I was like, nah, I'll probably just steal Dresden's. It's pretty nice.
Why not?
And there's a lot of, you know, in air quotes, technical details in the Dresden books about how magic works.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that, then when I see how they did it in the game, I'm like, that's pretty much how it would talk
about. Yeah, right.
And that was very cool.
Which, again, you know, you can work into anything else if you like.
Yes. I'm still reading that series by N.K. or H.N. or whatever. Jessamine, the 100,000 Kingdoms, and now I'm on the Broken Kingdoms. It's good stuff. It's Afrofuturist, apparently. The second volume actually deals with different characters in the same... Like, it takes place, like, 10 years later, and it's different people.
Mm.
But, yeah, once again, our protagonist is essentially a black woman. She comes from, like, a different tribe or whatever, but it basically... Her skin is very dark, and... She stands out for that reason.
Hmm.
And just a lot of stuff involving race and class, but done through the lens of orders of beings and, like, you know, gods versus demigods versus people and what they mean to each other and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. And I'm running out of stuff, so we probably should draw some hat.
Okay, now that we've run out of stuff,
I don't have a lot of stuff
You need to put that as at the beginning of the show. And as soon as we run out of stuff, we draw things out of the hat.
I do have to stop for a second. I'm going to tell a work story, which I don't normally do, but I'm going to leave it so context-free that it should be fine.
Okay.
We had a big meeting today where my whole division meets quarterly to discuss what's going on and all this, and different people from different departments come up and talk. And somebody even from my department... In a context that I will admit kind of helped it make sense, but not entirely, said the following sentence, again, to like 100 people or whatever. It's kind of cute, but it is Hitler.
Referring to what?
Right?
Yeah. A cat with a little mustache?
No, or? Technically... I believe he was referring to somebody had drawn some sort of character that was basically a Teletubby, but with Hitler's face.
Hmm.
But then your question is, why was that in a PowerPoint slide for the presentation he was giving?
Yeah.
And that's where it gets slightly more complicated.
Okay.
It all did make sense. Like, he didn't do anything wrong, but I just love that in that meeting with the VP and everything, it's kind of cute, but it is Hitler. All right, what did the thing that you drew from the thing say?
Hazardtown.
Oh, damn it. Or is it a question for him?
It's a question from him.
I was afraid of that.
He says, Cersei.
Cersei?
Why do my questions keep getting doubled? What does that mean?
Maybe that when we draw one of his, we draw two of his? Is that a... Either that or when he's sending them, he's accidentally sending them twice, but...
Well, how would he even know that?
I'm sure the hat is cleaning that up for us, so we wouldn't...
Yeah, we don't get it. Or maybe he's heard a question that he asked twice, and we didn't realize it was twice?
Okay, if that happens, I am fairly confident it's just because he wrote in the same damn question twice.
And we didn't realize that he did it twice?
No, because there was like a year between them or maybe, something. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
How many times have we been like, I feel like we've had this question? And the problem is there are some questions that are quite different, but that will lead us down the exact same path. Yeah. So we're like, we've had this. No, we haven't. We've just had our answer to this before.
Right. I don't know.
Seriously, why do my questions keep getting doubled? Azure Talon. You know, he doesn't have the exclamation points at the end or anything. I'm not positive this is him.
Why would the hat tell
us? Is this Azure Talon's double? Is this the thing?
Oh.
Does this involve... Well, this dovetails nicely with the comic strip we said we were going to talk about. Does this involve clones of Azure Talon? Who then write the same question?
Could be. There must be a glitch in the brain upload.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever finish Altered Carbon?
No.
Really? You gave up?
Well, I don't know if we gave up. We watched the first one, and we actually weren't that impressed with the first one. And then, you know, a couple of people talked about it, and we thought, okay, sure, we'll pick it, you know.
Yeah.
Just watching one episode, that's not really giving it a fair chance. Even we know that.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd get back to it, but I think other things got in the way, and so we've never picked it up again. Like, we watched the second season of A Series of Unfortunate Events. I don't know why we watched that.
Wow.
I mean, it's not bad, but it's like... I don't really care. I don't know why we...
A long time ago, I realized I was probably never going to read those. I mean, they're children's books, and in general, I won't go for that. But also, I don't know, it just didn't seem like my thing or whatever. So I went on Wikipedia, and I read about all the books.
Yeah.
They're bleak as fuck.
Well, that's the whole point, sure.
I know, but like... I mean, I get that it's ironically, but it's also genuinely. Like, those books would have... I don't know what would have happened to me as a small child reading about that shit.
I have no idea. Kids loved them.
That's crazy. And then the idea is like, oh yeah, we get to see it on the screen. I was like, no, I'm good.
It's quite humorous. And
it's the story of it. It's who is he? Ed Grim? No, not Ed Grimley. Who's the guy who drew all the weird Victorian children getting like murdered in weird ways and stuff? It was a famous...
I don't know.
Artist.
Don't know.
And he's the same guy who did the opening animation for Mystery on PBS. And he would famously do all these very macabre images, and it was like his name was like Grimley or something. I don't remember. But it's like a story done by him. Like it has that very vibe. There's this vaguely earlier British time vibe to it, combined with just darkness and child abuse and death and...
Well, all I mean, of the bad things. The person playing Count Olaf is
Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris, and he's really good, and he's funny, and
he's amazing.
And
just as a human,
so it's fun to watch him do his thing. And then they have various people as guests. And Lemony Snicket's being played by, what's his name? The guy that voices Kronk in Emperor's New Groove. And I guess he was...
Patrick Warburton?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's in it a lot. And he's funny, and as always. So, I mean, it's entertaining. And we watched the whole thing. We watched the first season and the second season. So, and we'll probably watch the third season. But it's... But it's not
fourth.
Like it's not like
fuck it.
It's not like great, so
yeah.
I don't think it's like better than the show we stopped watching. So why did we stop? Why didn't we pick up watching it? I have no idea. Just not that interested, I guess.
Because you love Neil Patrick Harris.
I'm a fan of his. I like his work. He's very funny, and he's very good in the show. I mean, if you're a fan of his, I think you'd like
him. I love his work. I can have too much.
I don't know.
I go through phases where I just eat them up. constantly, and then I'm like, maybe a little break. But yeah, I've never seen him do anything. And I knew him pre Doogie Howser.
Did you like Doogie Howser? I mean, I never watched.
I did. I loved Doogie Howser. I was at the right age. Doogie Howser was me. Wesley Crusher was me. Like, I was at the age where those ones really, like, hit it for me. Hmm. So everybody's like, ah, Doogie Howser was so dumb. No, I loved it. Will Wheaton's character was so shitty on the show. I can see why people say that now, but at the time, I'm like, no, he's my goddamn role model.
Oh, well, you know, I heard people say that, but I didn't have a problem with Wesley Crusher at all.
In retrospect, I can see there is, they've built him into a weird sort of smug child there's a petulance that I don't think is the acting's fault. Mm. They just made him, I think they were going for precocious, but in the 90s that shit didn't quite fly anymore, and so he just came off as a little bit of a nosy know-it-all.
Oh,
and very young compared to everybody else, obviously.
Right.
That was a little jarring. But no, I loved him. I was totally into that. But no, I first knew Neil Patrick Harris from a TV movie, a B.L. Stryker TV movie, which was a Burt Reynolds series that he did for a while, called Blues for Booter. And Booter was a child played by Neil Patrick Harris. And he was like 10 or 12 or some shit.
Hmm.
And for some reason, I was way into that. I watched it like in a motel on cable when we were someplace. I don't even remember where. But I really liked him such that his name stuck with me. And when Doogie Howser was happening, they were like, they're making this sitcom. It's about a kid who's a doctor, Neil Patrick. I was like, hey, the guy from B.L. Stryker, that's cool. And so then, yeah, no, I loved Doogie Howser. I think I did eventually give up. It went on a long time.
Oh, did it?
And got pretty shark jumpy.
Oh, okay.
In places, I think. So I think I did eventually give up. But for quite a long time, I watched that. And he was the best thing about how I Met Your Mother, definitely. It did get a little weird near the end, but... and he's great. We watched Best Time Ever, the weird talk show, game show, hidden camera show, variety show that he had for one season on TBS. We really loved that. He was trying to bring back the variety show, and he did it great.
Oh, wait, yeah, I did hear about that.
I think we talked about it.
And I was really behind it, because as you know, when I was a kid, I loved variety shows.
Yeah, and I think they're all destined to fail. Every once in a while, somebody brings them back up. But this one was solid. It was modern. It was interesting. It had the right, like, people... It was funny was the big thing. The whole thing was really funny.
Why did it only get a season, do you think?
Cost of making versus ratings. I mean, I think it was very much a numbers game. He wanted to do it. But it just wasn't... I think the first couple episodes got really good ratings. And then people were like, okay, we get it. And then they stopped. But yeah, we were disappointed. It got an eight episode season, and then never got to come back.
That's too bad.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know why your questions keep getting doubled. I don't know that it's true. I don't know that I care. I don't know that you're Azertalen.
No, it's not Azertalen. It's the Loch Ness Monster.
What about Drayfitty?
Drayfitty.
So people are worried now because they've gotten so good with the video that they can make fake video that you can't tell is fake.
Yeah.
This has been a thing recently. I really want this technology just to fuck with cryptid followers. I'm like, holy shit. I could make some awesome footage of the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and stuff. And I could make it like a celebrity and some shit. Like, that would be awesome.
Would be awesome.
Like, you find out, oh my god, the Jersey Devil is real and is Neil Patrick Harris. Like, I think that would be so cool.
Someone will do it.
Yeah. All right, give me a hint.
Somebody will do it.
but I won't get the credit. No. Because I probably won't have done it.
Nope.
All right. This is from Craig. Oh, one more story today from the thing.
From the thing.
From the meeting I had today, the official meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Stu works with me in the same division. I was monitoring, it was like a Skype meeting, and so a lot of people are in the room, but people are also on the phone, and I was monitoring the chat log, because we mute them all, because people are fucking heavy breathers. But at some point, they mentioned something where they were, it might have been an international project, I don't remember, but they were doing it in UK English instead of US, and he said something in chat about, like, doing it the right way or something like that. Or how cool he thought that was. And as you know, Stu is now an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to say in the chat with everybody else, I was like, quiet you, you're American now. So that was fun. But so yeah, so this is like our only Brit left because Stu doesn't count anymore.
Because
he's American. Craig asks, oh, so now that it's been like 3 weeks, congratulations, Craig, on your marriage.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
I was looking at comments on an old episode, and he said it was going to be April 7th.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, shit, that already passed.
Yeah, we missed it.
So, yeah, congratulations on that. I hope it's still going. I mean, it's been 19 days.
Yeah, sure.
So, I hope everything is still awesome for you. And I hope you're still listening.
Yeah, me too.
Because we are down to very few listeners. And I love you guys, but I'd love you guys if there were more of you guys. More. I love you each equally, therefore, we would. And it's a static amount. So if we got more, I would love them. There would be a total greater love
overall.
Even though each of you would feel exactly the same amount of love as you currently feel. Something with your eye, or are you just flirting?
No, I'm twitching. Williams. Because what you're saying is hurting my brain.
What? William's I'm having a stroke. Winking at me over here.
I'm having a stroke.
All right.
The whole left side of my body is going to be done here in a second.
So, Mrs. Craig, whatever his wife's last name is, or husband's last name, I suppose, asks, where do you feel the balance between individual freedom and societal freedom lies? Well, we've got 9 minutes. This should be no problem. Take it away.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, first I'd say that for most of human history, and even now for most human beings, this idea of a balance between the individual and the social is not really a thing. I mean, we know how to participate in groups and to have our individual contribution count while not overtaking the entire mission of the group and vice versa. There's not really a dichotomy between these two things in day-to-day tribal life. The only reason we ask this kind of question or see a dichotomy is because we live in a culture where we've got several layers of social organization above that, and those layers of social organization do often pose serious challenges to individual expression. Not to mention the goals and the programs of the smaller groups. So the question of where the balance is, I don't think there is a balance. I think for groups of people that are suitably small, it takes care of itself because there's no dichotomy in the first place, and where the dichotomy starts to come into play because you have these larger and larger groups, it's always going to be off kilter and out of balance, and people are always going to be arguing about whether or not there's too much control on the part of the, you know, higher organization versus the people who are in the organization. And that's just going to be a perpetual thing that the people who are impacted by those debates are going to have to work out. So there's no one answer. Except to just get rid of all that and only have the smaller groups where the dichotomy disappears and is irrelevant. But that's not going to happen either, so we're just going to have to live with arguing, you know, case by case and place by place, well, Is the larger organization getting in our way? And if it is, how can we stop that? And if it's not, well, then let's just keep going until we run into some wall that it's put up, and then we'll deal with it then. You know, like, that's what people do in their workplace, right? I mean, you go along with your day until something stops you, and then you have to talk to your manager or talk to your coworkers and say, well, how are we going to get around this problem that's been caused by, you know, a mistake that the higher-ups have made in putting this obstacle in our way.
I know. Societal freedom. I think my answer is going to sound, like, completely different, but I think it boils down to essentially the same thing. Which is why you and I have this weird thing anyway. Like, I'm a pretty serious socialist, and you're an anarchist, and yet most of our views are basically the same.
Well, it's probably because that once my anarchist principles are applied, it ends up being a low-level socialism anyway.
Well, that, yeah, and I think it comes down to socio-aesthetic views.
Yeah, yeah.
If I maybe just made up a term. So my answer to this question of where that balance lies is, it depends on your particular society.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up question of, well, how does a society determine that? The people do. When you say, like, it's best for us to be more socialist or more capitalist or less so, whatever, what does that mean? People will say, oh, it means the most prosperity for all. It means the most happiness for all. It means the most money, the most jobs, whatever. No, what it means is it leads towards the society you would prefer to live in.
Right, right.
And when I say I'm fairly socialist, I am not saying that socialism is the one true government. And I mean, I realize all sorts of issues with socialism.
Sure, sure.
I tend socialist because of all the societal options that I have seen that are viable and feasible in the world I'm in. That's the one I like the most. And that's what it comes down to. People are going to prefer a particular type of society with a particular amount of societal freedom and a certain amount of individual freedom. And people are going to debate and argue over it.
Yep.
And you'll decide. Even in the small groups you have that, it may not be as explicit or articulated, but it's there.
Yep.
Like, you know what? Bob's kind of pushy.
Yep, yep, yep.
But he tends to get shit done, so we've all agreed as a group, unspokenly, Bob kind of gets to be the leader, but, like, only to a degree. They've decided that.
Exactly.
And if enough people were like, I'm fucking sick of Bob, that would stop.
That would change.
And when enough people are like, I hate the way this society is going, it changes, either through its own system or through some sort of revolution.
Right.
And if it doesn't, That implies that more people are interested in what's being maintained, but unfortunately not all people are the same size once complex socioeconomic issues get involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the answer. The real answer is, well, where do you want it?
Yep.
Because that's the right answer for you.
For you.
Whether or not you can make that happen or other people agree with you.
Yep. Then it's just a big negotiation.
It's different, but it's what you want.
It's just a big negotiation after that. And, of course, problematically, you may not get a say in that negotiation. That's one of the big problems in our society today is, like you said, everyone has their own opinion. You decide what your opinion is. You make your opinion known. But depending on where you live, what country you live in, what part of that country you live in some cases, what your race is, what your... And so on, will have an impact on just how much of a say you have in whether or not you're going to get the society or the social or cultural experience you want.
And how much you care about getting that experience, because this is another factor. There's social issues and directions and policies that I believe in and I fight for. There's also ones that I do believe in, but they don't impact me. And I probably should fight more for them, but it doesn't affect my life, so I don't push as hard.
Yeah.
And maybe enough. The real simple practical one is issues of smoking. The place we used to work, banned your ability to smoke just outside the building. You had to be like 30 feet away or whatever. And a tremendous amount of non-smokers found this inappropriate. We were like, they shouldn't have to make you do that. And it was funny because all the smokers were like, eh, same shit, different day.
Yeah, right.
Nobody likes us. But that's the thing. We also didn't fight to change it.
Yeah,
we just bitched about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are things... guns are a bad example, but okay, drugs are a good one. I fairly socially believe people should be able to take whatever crazy shit they want as long as it does not make them a danger to others,
mm-hmm.
and that's something to take into consideration. But also, I'm never gonna be that bothered that heroin's illegal.
Mm.
Like, I think strictly speaking, I don't think it should be illegal. But I'm not interested in doing heroin, and I'm not generally interested in somebody who's actively doing it, like hanging out with them
sure,
a lot.
Sure, sure.
So if that never changes, I won't really care. Yeah. I'm not going to go around marching or signing petitions to legalize heroin.
Yeah.
So then there become those issues. What kind of society do you want? How much are you willing to work for it? And what does that look like?
Right, right, right.
So there's a lot of factors. So, dumb question, Craig.
No, it's a very good question. It's just
well, it led to great... It's better than Ashertown's. I'll give you that. It's the top question of the night.
There's just not one answer to it,
no.
Obviously. It's going to be
or,
depending on who you are.
There is one answer, depending on how... What we just gave was kind of one...
I suppose that's one way to look at it.
I'm starting to get sick of it, but I do still giggle at the latest Progressive commercial with the box... where he's talking about the year of his life. And
I love that.
I've fell in love three times. Once was... Chris Parnell just
do you have anything to declare?
Isn't that what I was doing? But something about that whole it's thing.
So
I
good.
Discovered myself.
The year of me.
Yes.
So good. Fell in love three times. Once with a woman. Once with a country.
Once
with myself. Yeah, I always laugh when that comes on. I think it's so
yeah,
good.
It has been coming on a lot. All right. That's all we got. We're over time. Maybe next week I'll tell you guys about... Well, if I, no, I probably won't see it. Though. So, we don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race at all. But this week, the two of the judges are Kumail Nanjiani and his wife, Emily Gordon. So, I had to DVR that episode. It'll record tonight. All right, so the rest of you also could go watch Drag Race and see Kumail and Emily, because we love them. And otherwise, just, I don't know, listen next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat. @gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.